Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Somers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan,
and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
Okay, we are back, and we are going to call this segment a segment with Chad Brown. Chad, how you doing? Steve Somers here on The Fan in New York City.
I'm fantastic, Steve. How are you?
Well, we're doing okay, and hope the same for you. And let us start, first of all, before we get into the fact that this summer you did intern with Kevin Green and helping out with the linebackers, and we established earlier in the program that you were going to be on, and how you played with a couple of teams twice, including the New England Patriots. And there's something that I wanted to ask you before we get into your internship with Kevin Green and the linebackers and the Jets. And also, we mentioned you work for the Pac-12 Network. So we also want to talk to you about that quarterback from USC and the quarterback from UCLA. Before we get to that, I know that in 2005, you were signed up with the Patriots to take the place of Teddy Bruschi, and Bruschi was injured. So here the Patriots sign you. Did you get a fair shake? Because you ended up on special teams. And I want to know if you were hurt that may have caused that kind of move, or whether they just didn't give you a fair shake.
I can't say that they didn't give me a fair shake. The move to the Patriots was obviously, they're coming off back-to-back Super Bowls. So I was excited about the chance to win a Super Bowl after being in Seattle for 8 years and, you know, really not even having a playoff win to show for it. Of course, they went on that next year and got themselves into the Super Bowl.
Right.
But I knew I would be replacing a guy who was more than just a player on the field. He was a huge part of the organization.
Sure.
You know, Bill Belichick has called him, you know, a perfect football player. So I knew it would be an uphill climb for me, particularly because I hadn't played that style inside linebacker, a 3-4 inside linebacker, since the first 3 years of my career in Pittsburgh. I did not play as well as I would have liked. I did not make that transition as smoothly as I would have liked. Vince Wilfork was breaking in as a young nose guard. And, you know, if you're an inside linebacker who's still trying to figure his way around the system, you need a nose guard who's a veteran, who you can know who's going to be in certain spots at certain times. And Vince and I never really got on the same page. So after starting the first six games, Teddy was healthy and came back. You know, it stung me in my football pride that, you know, I was no longer starting. But at some point, you know, it happens to everybody if you play long enough. And for that to happen in my 13th season and to be replaced by a guy like Teddy Bruschi, who was really the heart and soul of that defense,
sure.
In a sense, I took it in stride, and I went to Bill and I said, hey, you know, I understand, you know, Teddy's back. I'd love to have some kind of role. So, you know, I started off with a special teams role and actually got a few special teams game balls. One of the more proudest moments of my career, where it wasn't me going out and making some amazing plays and two sacks and things I had accomplished earlier in my career. It was accepting my role and excelling at that. And then as the season progressed, I got more of a third down role and was a third down linebacker for that team. So, yeah, to answer your question, it hurt, but in some ways, it really helped me grow as a player, helped me grow as a person. It humbled me quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and pride with a capital P with you, and there's a reason why you could have had such pride with your game, a three-time Pro Bowler, a two-time All-Pro, AFC champion, the whole thing already. I mean, you were quite a football player, and everyone knows that who follows the NFL, and that's just about everyone. The bottom line is with Bill Belichick, we know him. The media knows him as stoic, a sourpuss, as somebody who roots for the New York Jets, want to see him go 0-16, not 16-0. So we were very happy to see last Thursday night what Kansas City did to Belichick and to Brady. Did you ever see Belichick smile?
You know, the sourpuss, the you know, short bill that you see with the media, occasionally we see that behind the scenes. But the reality is, for the most part, with the team, with people he feels comfortable with, Bill is, you know, he's incredibly gracious. He likes to laugh. He smiles. He's actually a pretty funny guy. Of course, it's a little bit more sarcastic humor. But he can go on and on in meetings about everything from, you know, Lawrence Taylor to military history to the proper way for an inside linebacker to deal with a Texas route from a running back. So we see a different part of Bill that makes, you know, I think almost all former Patriots, particularly guys who were like situations like mine where they were with other teams, came there late in their career with hopes to try to win a championship, almost all those guys come away dazzled with Bill Belichick, the Patriots way, and really valued their time there, particularly late in their career, because it was such a fantastic place to play football.
You think he's a genius?
He is the best coach I've been around. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to be coached by Bill McCartney at the University of Colorado, Bill Cowher, you know, Super Bowl coach with the Steelers, Mike Holmgren, Seattle Seahawks, another Super Bowl winning coach. So I've been coached by some fantastic people. But Bill Belichick, his knowledge of every player on the field in every single situation, and his ability to communicate and teach each player what the right play is to make in a situation surpasses any other coach I've ever been around.
He's made his reputation on the defensive side of the football. Are you going to say that he's as much aware and involved on the offensive side as well?
Yes. There's not a position on the team that Bill could not coach. If you wanted a special teams coach, you'd have probably some of the best special teams in the NFL. As an offensive coach, there's a reason why Tom Brady has been so successful. Of course, he meets with the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. But once a week for a couple of hours, he also meets with Bill Belichick. And he's done that since his rookie year. And what Bill has done is taught him what defenses are trying to do to him. Yes, your coordinator and your offensive coach are going to teach you how to play quarterback. I'm going to teach you what defenses are trying to do and how they're going to try to stop you. So even though he's a defensive-minded guy, he used that defensive expertise to help Tom Brady be arguably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Do you think he cheats?
Do I think he cheats? I think there's probably no stone that they would ever leave unturned. But in my 2.5 years roughly there as a Patriot, I saw no evidence of cheating. At no point did they walk in and say, hey, you know, we filmed so-and-so's practice, and here's what we think they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So all that, you know, Spygate stuff, you know, Deflategate stuff, I just was around an incredibly hard-working group of players and the hardest working group of coaches and assistants and front office people I was around. And I'm sure in Jets country, my comments will be met with some skepticism, and I can understand that. I mean, the record for the Patriots and them being fined by the league speaks for itself, but I saw no evidence of that when I was inside that inner circle.
In so many words, and we're talking with Chad Brown, one of the great linebackers that ever played the game, a Pro Bowler, a champion, the whole thing already with a number of teams, Pittsburgh and Seattle, New England, Pittsburgh again, New England again. A distinguished career for Chad Brown, who did intern this summer with Kevin Green, a great linebacker in his own right, with the New York Jets. Here we are making the segue, making the transition from one of the best coaches and one of the best teams of all time to the New York Jets this summer where you interned. What did you learn, or what did they learn from you?
You know, obviously being with Kevin Green, you know, he's got 160 career sacks. I finished my career with 80. So he's, just numerically, he's twice the pass rusher that I ever was. I wanted to come away from this camp really armed with some pass rush skills and techniques and thoughts, and I was able to pick Kevin's brain with that process. This is my third internship. 2 years ago, I was with the Seahawks, last year with the Tennessee Titans, and this year with the Jets. Uh-huh. All three very different experiences. The Seahawks were coming off essentially a one-play difference between winning and losing the Super Bowl, and I wanted to see how Pete Carroll would handle that experience with his team, and how Pete Carroll creates this incredibly positive work environment. And it was a fantastic 6 weeks with the Seahawks. Pete Carroll and his very positive, upbeat that you see in press conferences, that's who he is behind the scenes. That's how he wants his team to play. That's the environment he creates within that Seahawks headquarters. Last year, Tennessee Titans, coming off a 3-13 season, but they knew they were going to be better. And I was interested in seeing how was Mike Mularkey really going to, deal with that, a team with, you know, high expectations within themselves, but also high expectations outside, and really trying to move forward in a place where they hadn't been in a couple of years. And we saw the results last year. They were essentially just one game away from being a playoff team. And in contrast is this year, where some folks are predicting the Jets to win no games, three games, and really being inside there, realizing that from a player perspective and from a coach perspective, you got to block out all that outside noise, and you've got to find a way to each day just try to get better. And there was no time with the players or with the coaches, with Todd Bowles or with Kevin Green, that we ever said, you know what, no one's predicting this team to do well. Why don't we slack off this meeting? Why don't we just go out there and have a crappy practice? Everyone, coaches, players, everyone approached the job incredibly professionally and seriously, recognizing, you know, the front office may have a different goal than what we have as players and coaches, or maybe on a different page, but that doesn't change what we do and how we approach this thing every single day.
Well, the culture, and you know this all too well as a player, now everything in between, you know that the culture with the New York Jets is losing and malfunction and dysfunction. And so, again, and you know that Jet fans this year, I mean, you know with a number of Jet fans, the common saying is suck for Sam. And we'll get to Sam Darnold and USC and the kid from UCLA as well in a moment. But the bottom line is the culture. And look what the front office has done. Stripping the team of, players who have experience, players who have made a difference, players who could help you win games. So what's left is a bare-bones team with a quarterback who has a losing reputation all to himself. There's an aging running back. There is unknowns on the defensive side of the ball outside of Wilkerson. I mean, there's a couple of DeMario Davis. There's a couple of guys that you know from defense. Some rookies in the secondary. Two safeties hopefully will develop into stars. But if the players don't want to tank, and we can understand that, you can certainly understand how so many fans want them to lose games so they can be number one with the draft next April, and also with the moves that the front office has made. You can understand that this is a season they're willing to give up to get that number one pick in the draft next year. It has to be very, very depressing. We don't think players want to tank. They have their pride on the line. But certainly these are players that may not have the skill, may not have the ability, and may not be able to win too many games at all in 2017, Chad.
I understand the fan and the media thoughts, and that's, you know, in some parts, in some cases, you know, fairly accurate. But, you know, there are young building blocks to this team. You did mention the two safeties. You talk about a guy like D. Lee on defense, playing linebacker, young guy, a Leonard Williams on the defensive line. So there are some pieces. You know, Jermaine Kearse came in, you know, was targeted 9 times, caught 7 passes. So there are some bright spots there. But I recognize that looking up and down the roster, for the most part, it does not wow you. At the same time, you got a guy like Todd Bowles who recognizes clearly what the roster is and is going to try to win games as best as that roster allows. Is he going to ask Josh McCown to go back and throw it 50 times around the yard? No, that's probably not going to be the way for them to win games. They need to run the ball effectively, which they didn't do last week against Buffalo.
And here's the thing, if I may interrupt real quick, I'm not so sure Todd Bowles knows how to win. I'm not so sure that Todd Bowles is in and not in over his head. A terrific individual that we all know. That's been well established. A terrific defensive coordinator. But as a head coach, some of his in-game moves, you know, leave you scratching your head. The Jets were down 9 with 4 minutes to go in this game last weekend. And he, on their own 44, punts the ball. He didn't get the ball back until there was 1:44 to go in the game, and the game by that time was all said and done. You're not expected to win a lot of games. You want to be aggressive. You want to get off to the good start. You want to show confidence in your offense. It is fourth down. They are trailing by 9 points. You got to go for it on fourth down. What have you got to lose other than another game? And they're not expected, and they have to know in their heart of hearts, as you do, Chad Brown, that this is not going to be a team that wins a lot of games. They're going for that number one pick. They're going for what they hope to be, a franchise quarterback. You're down. You're trailing by 9 points in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go. You can't punt the ball away. You got to go for it. And Jet fans are livid with that decision, livid with many in-game decisions that Todd Bowles made last year. Would you be honest enough with us to say, possibly watching the Jets, maybe you haven't seen every game like the rest of us have, but since Bowles has been around, he went from 10-6 to missing the playoffs, and now this year it's supposed to be worse. Do you think he is in over his head as a head coach from what you've seen, from what you know?
I think there's a curve. There's a curve to being a head coach. And last year with the dysfunction in the locker room, that certainly derailed this season. And now this season with the front office making moves seemingly to look for a quarterback next year, look for an early draft pick. You know, in some ways, Todd's hands are tied behind his back. But I have to understand what the fans see and what the media sees with some questionable decision-making. But I can only speak to my time there in those meeting rooms with Todd, on the practice field with Todd and conversations with Todd. At no point, you know, was I thinking, wow, this guy just doesn't have it. He just doesn't understand how this whole thing works. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier on the segment, I've had some very accomplished coaches in my career. Now, I can't put Todd up there with those guys. He's very young into his head coaching career. Mm-hmm. But I know what good coaching is. I know how motivated players can be from a good head coach. I know all those pieces to the puzzle. And at no point during my time there as an intern was I like, man, this guy is just not up for the job. I thought he was more than up for the job, and particularly understanding the situation that he is in based on the talent on the roster.
Our guest, of course, for a couple more minutes is Chad Brown, a terrific linebacker with a number of teams, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Patriots. Do you want to be a coach or a broadcaster?
You know, obviously both have their pluses and minuses. I enjoy the broadcasting because it keeps me close to the game. But let me say, as a broadcaster, sometimes you get teased by the game. Having been on the inside of those sidelines, I know how special it is and what amazing feeling it is to win or lose, live and die each Saturday or each Sunday with your team. So I'll say I'm comfortable having a foot in both doors right now. I've been waiting for my kids to be out of the house. My son just started his freshman year at the University of Colorado where I went. So my daughter's a senior there. The nest is now empty. So now's my chance to explore the coaching world if that's the direction that I want to go.
All right. And before we do let you go, you got to give us some comments about the quarterbacks in Southern California. Let's start. Well, let me ask you this first of all. If you had the number one pick in the draft, and Jet fans are hoping the Jets have that number one pick, which quarterback would you take, the kid from UCLA, or would you take the Trojan?
You know, I think this is going to be tough for evaluators. I think Rosen is a bigger, stronger kid, just willing to stand up to, you know, a blitzer coming in his face, and I think he's got the physical ability to get up after those hits. You know, Rosen was nicked up last year with a shoulder injury, so he's a slender guy. He's got good size and good length, but he's also very slender. Not the most polished guy in the pocket. And, you know, I think after his experience last year, I think he shies away from contact. You know, if you're going to play quarterback, you have to have that ability to stand in the pocket and to deliver a good football. Josh, you know, also has done some questionable things within the media, said some questionable things, whereas Rosen definitely has that, you know, more corporate button-down leadership skill, strong locker room presence that you want from your franchise quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole season develops, because I still see Sam Darnold as being raw and developing, where, you know, Josh, I think, is a probably a higher level quarterback at this point. But let's not forget, you know, Sam Darnold was brought to USC, and they wanted him to play quarterback his freshman year before linebacker before he redshirted. So his development as a quarterback, I think, is a little bit behind Rosen's, but he has shown so far he's got an ability to catch up. And so far this season, he's thrown almost 75% completion ratio. Got lots of talent around him. It's a USC team with lots of talent, but he's certainly taking advantage of that talent.
Which one of the two do you think has the better mentality to play in New York?
Wow, the better mentality to play in New York. I'm going to say Sam Darnold, just because we've seen Josh Rosen kind of lash out a little bit at the media. And if there's a tough media environment, it is being in New York. So I think you need a guy who maybe is a little bit more buttoned up, is not going to give the media opportunities to make controversies where maybe something shouldn't be made, and is also going to resist the opportunity to lash out when things aren't going so well. And we've seen Josh lash out a few times.
Now, and that kid Rosen a couple of weeks ago, incredible comeback. What was it? At halftime, they were down 31-10 UCLA, Josh Rosen. Down 31-10, 44-10, and they win the game 45-44 as he throws something like four touchdown passes, almost 300 yards in the fourth quarter all by himself. And obviously, the rest of the team did their part as well. But that was one incredible comeback. And I've also heard, maybe you know a little bit more about this, that if the Jets were number one, that Darnold might decide to stay at USC. Hear anything along those lines?
You know, I haven't heard along those lines yet. You know, hopefully that's not the case. I've never been a fan of that. You know, if you are lucky enough to be the number one pick, you know, that franchise is entrusting you to take them to the next step, and they think you're a big part of that. I'm not a fan of guys trying to engineer and manipulate the draft. And from what I know or what I hear of Sam Darnold, doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that he would be. Maybe it was coming from one of his advisors. You know, these college kids at this point now all have these advisors who speak for them in these circumstances.
Right. Chad Brown, NFL linebacker supreme, I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time. And, of course, we wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I always appreciate it. And, you know, I appreciate the tough questions, even though maybe I tried to run away from some of them.
Coming from a very soft person. Anyway, thanks a lot for a few minutes, and take care of yourself.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You got it. Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker on his internship with the Jets, and, of course, his experiences with a couple of NFL teams, and working for the Pac-12 Network, he'll be following, of course, a potential Jets quarterback.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.